Hey, don't apologize to us. Apologize to the fans.
I'm sorry, fans. Last time we recorded, I was having this issue, and as soon as we hung up, I never thought about it again until this exact moment.
Course.
I couldn't even remember that it happened. I swear to you, if you said I had technical issues last episode, there's zero memory. I had to take 5 minutes yesterday. Something bad happened to me yesterday. I cut my finger real bad, and it bled all through the night. Which is funny too, because smoked a little bit of weed, and
Say that quietly, you know.
I got a little par I got a little paranoid. I got a little paranoid because I was like, maybe it'll never stop bleeding. I'm gonna die in my sleep tonight, and this is, it's just the end of my finger. Looks terrible, but I couldn't remember. June, my daughter, asked me, how did I cut it? And I was like, I have no idea.
Can't stop
Looking at
laughing at
Matt.
the
Those eyebrows.
Look at that. That is so funny.
They're That's really
That's
funny. The beard
alternate
and the
universe Matt.
mustache.
That's like the alternate universe Matt, the guy who cares about,
Yeah.
he's
Now
kind of
that's
into,
evil,
it's so
Matt.
crazy that
he's kind of into
I can move my
cars.
eyebrows and it works.
He's kind of, that's the Fast X Matt. He's kind of into cars. He's like, he's pretty cool. He wears gold chains.
Yeah.
Yeah,
That could have
chain
been
would
you,
be
man.
nice.
Yeah. I can't do it in my Zoom. I want to.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
All right.
If
But
you,
I'm not ha I don't have any face filter on though, 'cause I am this young.
you, yeah, you look pretty young. I don't think
you
I
used
do.
to.
Maybe I do.
No, that's just Toby. He just thinks so.
Devin's is smooth now.
Mine's smooth.
No.
Matt used to look real young. Now I look over sometimes on stage and I'm like, whose grandma is that? Good God. The fuck, how did she get here? I never seen a grandma on stage. She
I
about to
still
jump
pretty
out.
consistently shock people when they find out I'm 44 in the general public. Part of that might be my behavior, I understand.
And you hang out with old women constantly. Old women that live at your house, they're going to be like,
Oh man.
you look young.
Such a baby face. It's crazy because I mean the 40, 45, mid to late 40-year-olds now
Yeah.
are nothing like they used to be. I mean, nothing like they
No.
used to be. I mean, my dad was 40. I remember when my dad was my exact age, and he seemed so much older. I mean, I guess it has to be lifestyle too, right? I mean,
Yeah,
we're
part of it's
just
just
young.
the way you present and where your dad wasn't just wearing hoodies and stuff.
No. Yeah, I mean the way
Well,
he had
and
a work
the
shirt
hair's
on.
different. Like, y'all see that thing where they put, like, they showed Blanche from Golden Girls and Jennifer Aniston, and they just moved Jennifer Aniston's hair to Blanche. You're like, oh,
Oh
Blanche looks real awesome.
yeah.
Like, Blanche, you always kind of thought, that's kind of interesting. There's something always about Blanche that kind of got me. You know what I mean? I was like, because
Oh yeah.
she was sexual, but in the least, like the most PG way. But
Right.
you're like, oh, this lady still likes to party. She likes to have
Oh
some
yeah.
fun.
You would have never
Which,
seen a like a who's a hot lady who's 60 now? I mean, there's so many
oh my God. Everybody's
Everybody's 60.
and
Jennifer
they're like,
Aniston's probably 60, for all
she's
I
fifty
know.
something, Selma Hayek's in her 50s. I mean, you would have never seen a woman like that when we were kids. It'd have been like, oh my God. I mean, Jane Fonda was like, she was getting older and she still had long hair and she was pretty, but it was like one in a 10,000. But now it's like every woman.
Oh, Jane Seymour, she's 73. You remember her, Dr. Quinn, the
Wow.
Madison woman?
Yeah.
Christie Brinkley, 70.
Jeez.
Let's see.
I bet they still look good.
Yeah, Selma Hayek. I don't know what her age is.
She's 50 something. I
Is
know.
she?
Yeah.
How old is Selma Hayek? What's funny is I was
Ask
trying to figure
Google.
it out. So I typed in hot women in their 60s, but but I misspelled it and it said hit women in their 60s.
Selma Hayek. Selma Hayek's 57.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? She's almost 60. Looking fine as hell.
That's what I'm saying. I'm in the prime of my life. I'm in my 40s, but 50s, it might even be better. Because wait till AI works on the stomach a little bit, fixes this part of my chin, my eyesight. I'm gonna be in better looking and better shape in 10 years than I was 10 years ago. I think I actually believe that.
It's possible.
I think I believe that.
Well, you might be.
Vanity pushes so much of the medical industry that, I mean, you are going to be sick. I'm telling you, I mean, like, Ozempic is insane. Like, the things that come in, people just go, oh, yeah, that works, do it. Like, nobody knows anything about Ozempic, really, or whatever. They're like, I mean, it was crazy. Like, it was telling us on tour that their sister-in-law or whatever even just makes their own concoction of Ozempic. You can get the ingredients online somehow. Right. But they're going to shut that shit down because Ozempic's like, well, you can't do that. So, but I mean, it's crazy. Anything you can do to improve your body and live a little bit longer, I think, I don't know. Right now, if they said, okay, you have to sign up right now, but you can live an extra 100 years, who would say no? How many people would say no? Would you say no?
I'd be very extra concerned 100? About such a bargain as
100 more years. Yeah. That's cool.
Now, there's a man in a red suit with horns. He's going to decide the
country. It would have to be like, it'd be one of those things, you know, when we bought, let's say like we bought our solar and they came over and they had this long contract that, you know, they tell you all these things.
Yeah.
And so you have a salesman come to your door and say, hey, look, we got another century for you here.
Right. Here's a century.
This contract. And I said, now, wait a second. Now, what kind of health am I going to be in? Like, what's my next 100 years going to be like? So it'd have to be something where they
present. And what do you think kind of answer that salesman would give you? You know, you get some slippery fucking ass answer to that exact question.
Oh,
and then you would know. Because it would, and so I, you know, my feeling is that there's narrow things that they're going to be able to fix and some stuff not. And that is the rub, has got to be, for instance, it's not so much I live 100 years. It's more like you might be trading living longer for looking better. That's more of a way of thinking about what, I don't know that Ozempic makes you live longer.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
It makes you lose weight.
It you look better
has
while you're
to
listening,
decrease
though.
Your metabolic health, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I would think that allegedly. It's bad. It's got to have bad side effects in probably even longevity, would be my guess.
Oh, probably.
Well, it definitely deteriorates.
And
your
then
muscles.
People will say, well, but you know, if being overweight is a health risk, I know, but now you're into this territory where you don't know really, but you can know some stuff and you can, you know, it's like if it's easy, it ain't good. It can't be good.
Right.
If it's easy.
Yeah.
An easy fix cannot be good. There's no biological free lunch. And that's one of the main principles in biology is there is no such thing as a biological free lunch. And it's true outside. I mean, and I do think that it's not limited to biology.
Yeah.
that is the case.
That's interesting. Yeah, there isn't anything that's just given to you. So
there can't be.
The struggle or whatever is hard actually does help. Progress and growth and everything better. I mean, that's just proof. I mean, the simplest answer there is if you just are overweight and you just eat a little, just a hair less and walk just a little bit more, you just lose weight. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and I understand that it sucks. Like, I had to force myself to walk on the treadmill yesterday. Just walk on the treadmill. I was like, what? I mean, it's there. It's literally right there. And I'm laying on the bed, like, you know, eating. And scrolling my phone.
In my mind, you're scrolling and eating cinnamon rolls laying on the bed.
How did you know?
Yeah, I mean,
it's
that's
just too
terrible.
Easy. It's too easy, but it's so nice to just like,
I know.
I hate that I can just walk back to my bedroom and just lay on the bed for a minute, look at my phone. Like, whatever that is, that has to be the worst thing evolutionarily that has ever happened on Earth. There's nothing worse than me being able to go sit in a climate controlled room with a very nice bed with not only a TV, but a computer that is basically attached to my hand and food unlimited. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, It just, it has to be bad for me.
What's really bad about it too, is it freaks me out a little bit lately, is after a day of, you know, doing whatever I got to do, you know, feel some day, you know, a lot of days feel busy or whatever, your kids stuff and all that too. And then you get home and the thing that I want to do to relax and take my mind off of other things and just chill before bed is that.
Yeah.
Like that, that is scary to me. Like that's my neutral position now is like, hold your phone, sit on the couch, look at and scroll, looking at things that do not matter.
Don't like, matter.
Literally don't matter.
You won't remember one of them.
Yeah. And it's just so relaxing.
Like, what was one of the videos you sent me yesterday from TikTok? I don't remember. I don't either. And I loved it when you did it. I watched it, but I have no idea. It was like, and it's just dopamine, just over and over, and it just feels so nice. Yeah,
if I could be reaching in a bag of white cheddar popcorn and scrolling on my phone for 45 minutes, it feels like the most. It feels like sitting on a beach in
Fiji. I know. And then I tell myself, But and then I tell myself, wow, dude, you got up and walked on the treadmill for 20 minutes. That's actually pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
Honestly, you didn't have to do that. Like the bare minimum of hard stuff, I feel so good about now.
Oh, I know.
Like the bare minimum, it's just like you figure something out or you handle something, you're like, whew, back to my phone. I'm just so happy I can just get back to that thing. I mean, that's why I always thought it was so funny. Because like on Bad Christian, we talked, I mean, we always have been a little bit early adopters. We've talked to them forever about AI and how, I promise you, I've been saying since 2012 that you will choose an AI robot to marry or to be with. And everybody's like, you're so stupid, man. True love. A real love and connection, also. And I'm like, every single person chooses their phone almost now over their kids.
Oh,
time with their kids or anything. I mean, I do it. I'm talking about me. You know what I mean? Like this morning, I was sitting here with June. Her mom dropped her off, and I was taking her to school. And I had to put down my phone and let go of it. And then, as we're talking, we have a conversation. Then there's a lull in the conversation, and I want to reach for the phone. I need to reach right. I was like, don't do it. And I was like, man, this is crazy. It's like an alcoholic going, wait, I'm at a bar or something, and I'm not going to reach for that drink. I know it's right there, but I don't. I mean, it is the same thing, I think. And it's just so easy. Like, whatever this is. I mean, of course we're addicted to it, but maybe it's deeper than an addiction. Maybe addiction is too small of a term to capture what it really is. It is us now. We are the phone too. The phone is us. I mean, it just is. Like there isn't a separation already. So of course, when AI even improves, which is exponentially improving, so in 10 years, it's going to be so crazy that you can't even imagine what it's going to be. Then of course you're going to be in love with it. Of course going to be. You won't be able to help yourself. You can say, oh, you know what? I want to meet a real person. You know what? Doug at work, he's actually pretty cool. He's going to take me on a date. No. You're going to take Zygar, the AI that is going to know everything about you and all your likes and wants and needs and desires. It will. But then at the cost of your humanity. But I don't know if people care about the humanity.
They're going to seem like that's going to be willing to let go of that. We're definitely in process already, like well underway of the merge. I mean, we're in process at this time.
All right. Which is why we lived the craziest life ever that we born in the 70s and got to see all of this. I mean, no one's experienced this. Like to go from like no cell phone computers in the home or anything like that. They were kind of around. You heard about smart people using a room this one computer that was filled with the whole room. But now we're all the way here and God help us. But, you know, 30 more years, if us three get 30 more years, can you imagine? You can't tell me.
Nobody can imagine. I promise you there's not a single person anywhere close to being able to imagine 30 years.
Right.
Not the smartest, not the most futurist, not the technologist. There's not somebody can imagine 30 years from now. There is not somebody. There's not.
So what amount of change has any other generation ever lived through like that? I mean, no, you go, oh, the printing press.
I mean, but, I mean people have changed individually or like on a local level, but not nobody. Not, I mean,
in this condensed of a time, in one generation, to go through that much. I know, like, the early 1900s, there weren't cars for everybody. And then, you know, so many people lived from, you know, 1890 to maybe 1990. That is a huge amount of change. I have to admit that. But this is actually changing humans. Like, yes, we're actually changed as a species.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And there's no way around it. But the there's just no way around it. But it could be that we're like in the early days of a thing that's going to seem really good. Like industrialization has helped the globe. And at first people are, you know, a lot of dangerous things or chemicals or people getting fried by the electricity when they don't understand it. But we're at the guinea pig part of this part of it. So if there's something better later, this time is the dangerous time, or it gets worse later, but it might be get better later and nobody knows. But either way, we know this next time is the dangerous time for the early idiots who are merging with technology. That's what we happen to have drawn on the out of the lottery card of when to live. So
yeah,
well, and the speed of change is, you know, it's so much quicker now too than like the 1900s. You know, I used to think about your Mimi. You know, she lived till she was in her 90s, and she, you know, those people saw, you know, like you said, they saw no cars, no airplanes, and all that stuff. And then they got here after 100 years. It was like, oh my gosh, things are so different. But we're 45, and we're saying, oh my gosh, things are so different. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
it's half
the amount of time is like as much different. And so, and I think it's the same with everything. I mean, I was thinking about food too. I mean, food is so, like, it's so different. I think generations ahead will look back on our generation too. And I think our generation, and this probably this block of 50, 60 years, it'll be like, they'll be like, I can't believe they ate that stuff.
Right.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Like, it'll be like, they ate plastic. Those people ate plastic. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. They're going to look back and say, how could they? It was like, there was a period of time that they created fake food and everybody ate it. Like, their whole life.
Yeah.
And that'll be like everything. It'll be
and
like
they,
the
and they couldn't understand why they had a bunch of problems.
Right.
Like not making like, the connections to the obvious.
You know what we need to do? We need to take medicine.
Yeah, they take, you know what I mean? Take unlimited pills and
eat
fake
the plastic
for a whole generation. And everybody,
I gotta
got
take
cancer.
A pill so I can eat the plastic.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Like that.
I'm not insane. And
not
I
just that.
Eat the plastic.
Not just that. It's going to be all over the place. You're going to look at back and just go, how could they not make the connections between this and that? And it's going to be 1,000 things like that. And if you go back in the past and you just go, man, you remember when you're little and you're like, man, people in the past, they sure didn't know stuff. We're worse. We're worse. Not better. We have more weirdness that we don't understand yet because we've introduced artificially a bunch of things that we don't yet understand, but yet we introduce them. And so that, you know, when I used to talk about my grandma, she was born in 20. I think she was born in 1920. And she would have gone from anybody of that generation. She did not have, obviously, a TV. There wasn't air travel. And her and her neighbors or nobody would have had cars when they didn't have them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then so the cars came pretty quick or whatever. That was, you know, at that time. But when I was 20, she had a cell phone and she would leave it on the bed and it was charged. She didn't like to use it, but it was pretty progressive of her to like, we had her have a cell phone and she struggled to kind of understand why she would use it, but she did have it. She was open to it. And I remember thinking, she's not fully embracing this, and that's interesting, but she is kind of trying. And she would recommend, hey, Matt, you should send your aunt in one of those e-letters as an email. So, you know, she was kind of like, she was there with things like cell phones and all this stuff, you know, almost 100 years from when she was born, when there weren't even cars, no planes in the sky, no TVs, no color TVs, no screens of any type, nothing. You know, on a farm in Georgia. And so that, and I promise you, it was very clear to me at that time when she was struggling with the cell phone, I thought, oh, this has to be worse when I'm 90. It can't, the pace of technology is always, I mean, it was obvious even then that the pace was higher. So it was very simple for me to say, and it was really clear for me to go, if the pace of technology is more rapid, when I am 90, this, whatever this problem is that makes me laugh at her, I will have a much worse problem than she has. Much worse problem than she has, especially if I don't absolutely not do the thing where you go, I'm not doing the e-commerce. Like, there's people still don't e-commerce, really, but almost not anymore. But you know what I mean? So people, I don't know. You remember when people wouldn't use the internet? Like, if you're say, I'm too old for, and then you put that and you say anything, you don't understand. You don't get it. You cannot afford at all to say I'm too old to X. You cannot ever let the you cannot let that happen.
You're right.
It will cost you in ways you cannot imagine, you know?
Yeah.
And it's, you just, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, I'm 35. I can't keep up with the, you better not say that.
Right.
You better not say that.
Yeah. Because you'll get left behind fast.
The thing that is crazy is we moved into a weird technological world where you do think, like, I feel like the majority goes, I'm sick, go to doctor, get medicine, right? And then I heard this quote the other day. It was one of the old philosophers. I'm sure somebody listening is going to be like, of course, I know who it is. But it's like, your medicine is your food and your food is your medicine. You know what I mean? Like what you were just saying, like, that is the thing. Like, it is more than obvious that so many issues we have today, just in America, you know, are caused by what we are putting in our bodies. And I know that, and I still do it. It was wild. Two nights ago, Allie made, three nights ago, we went to a Mexican restaurant, and Devin, I don't know if I should call them out online, but there's one Mexican restaurant that's kind of popular in Champaign. It sucks. I mean, the ground beef is terrible. The people that work there were awesome. They even brought us two tequila shots out of nowhere. They were just super cool. So I don't really want to shit on them. But the food, I was like, how could it be so bad? It was so bad. I was like, I just spent $50 on actual, just the worst possible food. And then the next night, Allie made nachos for us. And she just did, you know, just real shredded chicken with just some beans and sour cream, some lettuce. And I was like, oh, my God, this tastes amazing. Like, all the ingredients were just kind of real. You know, just regular. It wasn't like processed or made or in bulk or anything. And I was like, whoa. And we all felt, I was like, so many times I leave a Mexican restaurant and feel a little acid reflux or not good or whatever, you know. But I was just like, and this is, I'm not shitting on Mexican food. It's my favorite food in the whole world. It's my favorite. But I was just like, whoa. She just made something simple and it was good. Like, I saw a guy today on TikTok. I was scrolling and he was like, he said, the way we're supposed to eat is simple. All this bullshit, trying to add this and that. No, you just need to eat something simple. And I was like, there's something there.
Oh, of course.
Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and even spices are simple. You know what I mean? Like, they can be simple. Like, even flavorings can be simple. But I was just like, man, it's just really true. Like, we get all confused and mixed up because we go, well, this is easy, or I just do this, or I'll just, this is how it goes. And then we don't even know. Like, I don't even know, like, when you look at like heirloom vegetables, like heirloom tomatoes or something, like, you're like, they look weird and different. And you're like, oh, that's the real thing. But we like the aesthetic value of the big, plump, manufactured tomato that looks amazing and awesome and has been through all this stuff.
They alter it,
And you're like, what? That's just not the way it's supposed to be. But this is where we are now.
No, I saw
a video. I think you're right.
Yeah, I saw a video the other day, and we've talked about this, you know, in the past a little bit, but about butter and margarine and stuff like that. And, but you know, people are so scared of butter.
Yeah.
Like, they're so scared of butter. They think butter will kill you. Butter will, is like, you know, when you talk about using real butter, like to just normal people, oh, they're like, oh, well, don't use too much. You know what I mean? It's like, it's fearful because of the amount of fat and cholesterol and all that stuff. And I saw a video, you know, and Matt, you would know more about this than me, but there's something that makes up a majority of your brain that's made up of 100% cholesterol or whatever. And it's, and then they created margarine, you know, as a substitute with vegetable oil eventually and all that stuff. And because people were afraid of eventually, obviously it's mass produced, it's easier to make and all that stuff. But if you put butter and margarine outside, I mean, the butter will be gone in hours. The margarine will be there for weeks or months. Like,
right.
Nothing will touch it. And people eat it all the time. Like, any indicator that that nature and wildlife won't eat something, and I drink Diet Coke, and that's, of course, the same thing. I mean, that's terrible. But
there's oddly no evidence. You would have think you'd have more evidence about Diet Coke doing real bad stuff at this point. It's been a really long time. It's really not very, super convincing. Right.
But similarly, in a way of like, if you put a Coke out, there's real sugar in it. What I mean? So, like, but it's just crazy because people are so afraid of the things that are real. It's like, the real experiences are harder. You know, the real food is harder to get, harder to make, harder to grow, harder, whatever. And it's more expensive and it is difficult. But like, it would be better for everybody. Your happiness would be better. Your health would be better. Every single thing would be better if you just did the harder thing.
Right.
But nobody, but we're at the convenience age. I mean,
Here's the thing. I think like Ozempic, I do believe on a certain level, like what Matt was saying, there is something strange that your body is tricked to go, this is sugar, but it's not sugar. Like there is, there must be something. I don't I love Diet Cokes. Oh my God. I don't think I can live without them almost. Like having a nice cold Diet Coke. Oh my Lord. Like my favorite is caffeine free. I don't know why when they remove the caffeine, I like it better, but I just do. Yeah. But it just taste wise, I just like the taste better. But there is something strange where you go, wait, I'm going to trick the body to go. Your taste buds get to enjoy the sweet, but your body doesn't enjoy the rest of it, or it doesn't recognize the rest of it. Rather,
oh yeah,
that is for sure. That's a bit of a strange thing that we do to our bodies. I think. So I don't know.
Yeah, the butter one is weird because it's, you know, margarine and low fat foods is a weird one because fat is, it's called fat.
Yeah.
So that's a bit like, if the macronutrients, carbs, protein, and fat, if the one called fat wasn't the same word for a blubbery person,
right,
then
it would be quite different if it was just a macronutrient of another name, you know? And so that's just what really makes people want to say, I'm doing an artificial thing that's better, and then depriving themselves of the real thing, which you might have even maybe a more proper respect for in that way. So that's something very bizarre about that, that you want the substitute. And, and then tell yourself you're a good person for the substitute, and you tell yourself you're a guilty person for the real thing. Then I promise you, the psychological concept of guilt is something very, I'm just going to speak on the level, on a zoomed out level a little bit, but there's something very weird about the guilt mechanisms at play in our food and where those messages come from. Mm-hmm. Because you could see if you were trying to feed a population, let's just say you were playing a video game and making a civilization or something like that, and you got all these people, you wouldn't want them to all necessarily think they can have the food that a king would eat. You wouldn't necessarily want them all to think they can have fresh bacon and unlimited butter and steaks. You know what I mean? Like, that's for the kings and the oligarchs to have.
It's not good for everybody. It might not even be good for the king.
Well, I'm just saying the things that are the most high quality, nutrient rich, dense, amazing foods, that there's not enough for everybody.
Oh, sure.
Right, right.
There's not enough steaks for everybody. So if ribeye is the best thing that is most nutritious, that the most people should eat the most of, you got a huge problem versus like, oh, well, we run the society and we want everybody to have ribeye. Well, you can't. Not going to happen. Right. So you better get them used to eating shit that goes in cheap boxes and telling them how good for them it is.
Right.
And make them feel guilty if they want the good stuff. That is how it would unfold if you, that was your feeding a population. You know what I mean? It's like as if the population's health, you know, and I'm not saying there's masterminds in a small room. I'm just saying the incentives have that play out. We need industrial corn is what we need to have in America.
Right.
You need high sugar, storable, genetically modified things that can be used in 1,000 different ways to put in boxes to ship in the trucks to the people who, whatever it is. Not fresh butter.
You're right. I mean, that's what we're living in. And we just, nobody really wants to accept that because it feels
once you internalize the guilt for like, then you're you're kind of like then you feel good that you have margarine, you feel good and superior that you're having margarine in the 1990s and that you're eating low-fat Snackwells cookies.
We got to move to part two. What announcements do we have? And I have names too. We haven't read names in a while. I got some names.
All right, so well, we got some shows coming up. We've talked about it, but we got in early mid-May, starting on May 9th, we're going to be going on tour again with the Almost. We're playing the Week's End.
It's so fun. And it's VIPs, really fun.
And we got pre-shows where we play some acoustic songs, take a big group pick. And then
I love the group pick, too. I just think it's great. So fun, like just seeing everybody that's at the VIP because it just looks – everybody's happy. I love those pictures, seeing them.
I think it's better. I think it's. I mean, I know people probably like maybe an individual picture for whatever, but the group pic is cool because it's just everybody. It's like the moment. It's more the moment than it is just a collectible or whatever you want to call it. But we're playing. We're going to be starting on May 9th. We're going to be playing Des Moines, St. Louis, Columbia, Missouri, St. Paul, Minnesota, Milwaukee, Chicago, Detroit, Grand Rapids, Toledo. Lakewood, which is, I think, that's Cleveland. And so you can get your tickets at emerymusic.com. Pre-show tickets are $40, but you get to bring up to 2 guests. So you bring your kids, friends, family, coworkers, whatever. And like I said, we'll be playing the Week's End in full. And then Aaron is playing Southern Weather with our good friends. Dave and Chris.
It's so fun. What a great show. And then our good buddies in Bad Luck.
Bad Luck will be there.
A great opener.
Yeah. And we haven't been in the Midwest in a long time. It's been a really long time.
So it's time to go. And also, if you haven't joined Emeryland, what are you waiting on? There's so many. I mean, you can go to the website. Just go to emerymusic.com. You can see all the things that you get. But it's not even about getting stuff. It's about if you like our band, you like this podcast, you want to support us and what we do and creating art and fun and all and experiences, then we sure would appreciate it. It's really great.
Joining Emeryland is like eating butter.
Ooh.
You get the real thing.
Fresh, real churned
Fresh,
butter.
Real churned butter. If you just listen to the podcast or use it, that's margarine.
Yeah.
You don't want to, I mean, you just get a little bit of you get the fake kind of, you know.
You know the other bands who are margarine.
Following Emery on Instagram is margarine.
That's margarine.
Yeah. 100%. So there's all these benefits. I'm not even going to go into it because I'm not going to waste your time. If you ain't joining, why? Ask yourself why. Go to emerymusic.com. But one of the benefits, I will say the one, is that you get your name read here. So here are the names. And this is interesting because they sent in their favorite Your Mama's So Fat jokes, which is
nice.
Kind of applies to what we've been saying here because everybody's mama's so fat these days.
Yep.
I'm gonna get letters. I'm gonna get emails. I'm gonna get DMs.
I don't have the name.
I have the names. Okay. Pulled up. All right. So we got Carrie Mulligan, and hers is or his. I'm not totally sure. Your mama's so fat. when she skips a meal, the stock market drops. Okay. Nathan Daniels, your mama's so fat, when she stepped in the middle of the road, I tried to swerve around her, but ran out of gas. Kevin Harrigan, she's fat. I'd sugarcoat it, but she'd just eat that too. I got Joseph Douglas. Your mama is so fat, when she walked past the TV, I missed a whole season. And then Shelby Michaels, your mama is so fat, even her car has stretch marks.
Nice.
So look, you get to send in what you get to send in your favorite mama joke. You get to send in what you want. We'll collab, you know, we'll put them all together, compile it and put it all together, and we'll have a good time. But also, we're headed to part two right now, which is going to even get filthier.
Oh yeah,
I mean, it's going to get filthier.
I'm talking grass fed, you know, just pure.
It's like lard. It's just straight lard. It's straight lard. Better go get in part two and get lard. we probably could turn that into a new saying, lard. You know, like lard means awesome. Man, lard. I don't want the fake shit. I want that lard. Yeah,
that means you got the real stuff. You got that lard.
I think lard ass, it used to be negative. Now it's positive. If you have a lard ass now, it's like healthy.
Lard ass is pretty funny. That's funny.
Yeah, I know, because you don't want a margarine ass.
No.
That's disgusting. A lard ass? Kind of healthy.
Nice.
All right, we'll see you in part two.
See ya.